You're listening to an HT Smartcast original.
Welcome to The Gear Shifters, the podcast jahan pe we delve into everything automobiles. And aajkal kyunki everyone is talking about AI. So we thought, why not get somebody from that sphere itself and talk about and understand ke how AI and automobiles are gaining momentum to take us to another revolution, so to speak. So, aaj on the podcast, we have Jayant N. Kola. Now, he's our expert panelist for the podcast today. He's a seasoned technology and strategy expert who's been with a lot of companies. And he spent 2 decades of his experience, unka jo hai, that is in telecom, AI, machine learning, and blockchain as well. So, Jayant, welcome to the podcast, sabse pehle.
Thank you, Siddharth.
Yaar, you can just call me Sid. Jab Siddharth bolta hai na, koi mere ko mummy ke yaad aati hai, jab wo daant maarti hai, to take the full name. So,
done, Sid it is.
Perfect. All right. So, Jayant, AI, that seems to be the buzzword aajkal. Everybody is talking about it and everybody wants to get on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. So, let's get, for the layman, what exactly is AI if you had to explain it to a 5-year-old?
Okay. Artificial intelligence in its, formative definition, when the phrase was formed back in 1950s by this gentleman called Alan Turing. Okay. It was nothing but, trying to get the machines to as close as human intelligence. That's it. Very simple. Okay. Make the machines, as intelligent as humans or as close to human intelligence as possible.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, going with that logic, in terms of automobile industry, can I say ke this whole AI thing has been there for quite some time? Like, agar aap bol rahe ho, robots, the cars have been on the, the line, the jahan pe unki banti, the whole line.
Assembly line, manufacturing lines, correct. Yes.
And robots are already there fixing up things.
Correct.
Since, I think, 30, 40 years now.
Yeah. So, in terms of, robots in the assembly units are not exactly AI machines because they are rule-based machines. I mean, they are given a set of instructions in the form of a software, and which is based on certain rules, and they'll perform only those rules. So that's more or less automation. That's taking the human labor, the work that humans used to do with our hands and legs, onto machines which are robots, right? Now, AI ka onset, comes with something called as machine learning, right? Wherein machines, machines are fed a lot of data and then, algorithms are written for machines to use that data, train on that data and, become intelligent and think like, and become intelligent, develop a thinking or an intelligence capability, right? Now, that was, machine learning was the formative step of AI across industries, including automotive. Aur wo machine learning ke liye data bahut zaruri hai. And even now in the auto industry, machine learning and what we call AI 1.0, the first generation of AI, has been prevalent for some years because over the last 10 years, automotives, cars, trucks, bikes, they all come with a lot of sensors, and these sensors continuously capture various elements of the automobiles in terms of performance and keep generating a lot of that data. And that data is, used by the central processing units, by the chipsets, by the computers within the cars which have come in the last 1.5-2 decades make some on the fly decisions. Okay, so like Formula One is an extremely good example of how data is used and, you know, how computers are built and run automobiles and cars on the fly, right? And Formula One's been doing this for a good two decades now. I mean, around the Mika Hakkinen, Michael Schumacher era is when, you know, they started collecting a lot of data to make the machines extremely, you know, extremely
precise.
Not precise, yes, because even a 0.1 second or 1/10 second of speed across the lap is gainful, and those machines are like $12-13 million. And over the years, over the last, you know, one, two decades, all the technology that's been built into Formula One has come down to road cars. And we've seen this especially in the last 5 to 7 years, especially when another technology called Internet of Things, which is nothing but sensors, hardware sensors that go into the automobiles, that came into mainstream. And, you know, those sensors started generating a lot of data, which was useful for the computers in the car to make on the fly decisions and make changes.
Right. Okay, so Jayant, now with the next question, I am going to judge your age. I will just say two words and I will find out whether you are my age or not. If you remember Knight Rider.
Of course.
Okay. You're born in the 70s and you're an 80s ka bacha.
79, yes.
78, yeah. So
79 born, yes.
Perfect. So you remember Knight Rider, and this was that back in the day, this car used to talk back, it had a brain of its own, it had a name, it drove by itself, and wo sab kuch khud hi karti thi.
I remember both Knight Rider and Street Hawk.
Absolutely.
There was a bike version of it. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I was actually just watching Street Hawk the other day on YouTube. Pata nahi kahan se mereko mila.
Very nice. And for a lot of us, you know, David Hasselhoff was not the Baywatch guy, but he was the Knight Rider guy. Originally.
Yes, absolutely. So, what is right now stopping us from reaching that Knight Rider car level? Because that came out in the 80s, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's almost 40 years. The development that we've had over the past few years has been incremental.
So right.
Where are we stuck, or is it actually happening and we don't know about it?
No. So you have to understand, from a performance point of view, the big showcase of AI in the auto or the car industry right now is actually driverless cars. Okay?
Right.
And which is still not completely out in the open. You know, they're being tested. Some are being in California, especially in San Francisco and all. Some are already on the road. But driverless cars is, from a performance point of view, is actually where the big AI push in the cars or in the automotive industry can be seen. But to answer your question, you know, what is stopping us? Two things, okay? The technology readiness and maturity. I mean, technology ready hai, par mature completely nahi hai. And most importantly, the policies and the regulations and the safety standards, right? Because in automotive industry, AI, you know, is being used for in the safety space, in predictive maintenance, in, in enhanced driver experience. But autonomous driving aane ke liye, you know, a lot of policies need to open up. Okay. Because auto industry works in cycles of decades. Any innovation that they do, that they implement. Okay.
Right.
They have a multi-year, like 8 to 10, sometimes 15, 20 year kind of a outlook. Okay. And what happens with software industry is that software industry has a very smaller cycles, like 2 years, 3 years. So we've been seeing, especially in the last 1-2 decades, the auto industry's life cycles and the software industry's life cycles to kind of match. I mean, software industry has extremely short, life cycles. Auto industry always thinks and plans and invests and budgets in decades. Okay. So now, Let's take this one off, the driverless car, right? And driverless car is going on the road. You know, unfortunately, an accident happens. Okay, we don't know. Today, the driver of the car, you know, is prosecuted by the land of the law, and that's mostly uniform around the world, right? But in the case of the driver, fully autonomous driverless car, you know, how can a machine be prosecuted? Let's say if there's loss of property and or life. Okay, so the regulators are thinking, the policymakers are thinking very deeply into it to solve that. And until unless that is solved to a fair degree of certainty and confidence, the automakers, even though the technology is ready and mature, will not be able to, you know, come out with that technology in the commercial space completely. Okay, so to answer your question, what is stopping us from making a Knight Rider today? The answer is, to some extent, technology ready hai, par completely puri tarah se proven nahi hai. There needs to be extensive testing and all scenarios testing to be done yet, and all regions testing. I mean, clearly on the roads of India and China, you know, some of these driverless technologies don't work as yet. But even in the places that they work, they're waiting for the, you know, regulations and the policies to come in place and say what is right and what is wrong as much as possible in black and white as per the rule of the law for some of the cars to get those capabilities.
Yeah, it's an interesting point that you just mentioned there, ke in terms of agar koi accident hota hai, toh who is responsible? Is it the driver? But it's a driverless car, so the driver cannot be. Is it the car company then who is responsible because the software is being managed by them?
Right.
Or is it a third party or somebody else?
Correct. So,
pretty interesting.
Yeah, okay, I mean, as we speak, so EU came up with the EU AI Act a couple of weeks back. That is the world's first AI Act anywhere in the world. But it's a horizontal act, right? Now, under that, this week, something called as Civil Liabilities Act, some vertical acts are coming in. So there's AI in workplace and AI Civil Liabilities Act is coming in. In civil liabilities, you know, there's a lot of thought process going in on the autonomous driving or driverless car. So, you know, there is a development of regulations and policies that's going on around the world. And as usual, EU or European Union is going to be the first one to come up with some of these regulations. We've been seeing this happening in the last couple of decades. And once they do, it sort of sets the bar and the precedent for other markets to follow.
You know, interestingly, I was just having a chat with a couple of my friends. They're into insurance as well.
Right.
And they were talking about ke in the near future, they, like you said, the technology is there, but it's not implemented as such. But it could be possible ke agar aapka accident hota hai, to phir you don't actually need to visit the insurance ka office or the firms or the agents. Don't need to come and see the car, kya damage hua hai, kya nahi hua hai. Because everything is automated, and the driverless cars are literally talking to each other, so to speak. The puri ki puri report is available online as soon as the cars hit and the AI takes over.
Right. No, that is definitely there. That is, that's in the insurance industry, in the auto insurance industry, that's where it's headed. And the way I look at it, that's still incremental. Today, you know, literally bases every individual's driving profile, bases the sensors that are available in the cars and the bikes, the insurance products and the premiums can be different, right? I mean, you know, I drive a Jeep Compass and a Merc AMG SLC 43. And then I drive a Ninja 650, BMW GS 310 and an X-Pulse, right? My riding and driving profiles of all of these cars are different. And, you know, even if I'm driving a Jeep Compass versus another guy driving a Jeep Compass, I'm always in a hurry. So I'm driving it like a go-kart half the time. So my premium, bases the sensors and the data that is collected in the car. Today, insurance companies can actually provide, you know, different products. Let's say you're a very safe and a straight and a line follower kind of a driver, your premium should and will be lesser as compared to mine, purely basis the sensors data that is coming out, right? Of course, there are privacy and consent management, challenges and barriers to be overcome. But those are relatively smaller things, and you know, all consent management and authorization will be taken for insurance industries to actually provide much more customized products as compared to the insurance today being provided basis the year of the model, the depreciation rate and the number of kilometers it's driven and the number of owners that it's had.
True. That's actually a good thing and a bad thing also.
Yes.
Depending on how you drive.
Yes.
So, driverless cars are on one side, the AI is taking over the automobile industry. And there are other aspects also, jahan pe AI is taking over the automobile industry.
Right.
Would you want to expand on that?
Yeah, so right now, AI is actually, you know, very much in use in the automotive industry in the area of, let's say, safety and, safety. So, for example, I'm an advisor and on the board of this, this small but very critical work doing Bangalore-based startup, which uses computer vision, for the workers in the automotive manufacturing shop floors and assembly lines, it uses the camera feed, to check the ergonomics, musculoskeletal, stress on people's body depending on the amount of work that they're doing, let's say fitting the cars and fitting the components on the cars and the automobiles, and predicts the injury, right? Okay, so that is completely being done today. That is completely being done by computer vision models, in manufacturing units. Let's take car infotainment systems. Again, I was last year. I was drawing up a strategy for Indian languages machine translation company, whose solution is going to come into one of the first. On the Indian roads, the infotainment systems are now going to have multi Indian language, Siri equivalent voice assistant. Okay, for Hindi, Marathi, Bengali, Telugu, Tamil. Aap car mein baith ke koi bhi language, koi bhi Indian language mein baat kar sakte ho, and the car infotainment system will. Will have a Siri like a voice assistant. Taking care of, catering to all the requests. So in all those areas, AI is already gotten in. Think of it this way. Think of a scenario wherein, let's say you're in a car, you're driving. It's an evening time. It's about sunset. Okay, you're driving on a highway. Sham ka time hai, 6 p.m. hai. The car, using the temperature sensor, can get what's the temperature outside. Using the dash cam, it can get what is the scene outside. Okay, and using there is this AI solution called Udio. Udio essentially generates music using generative AI. Okay. Now, depending on the mood and the ambience, your car infotainment system using audio, not even the music that already exists, it can actually on the fly create, generative AI based music to suit the mood of the drive, right? Automatically.
Oh, yeah.
Think of that use case. Okay. So and the music that doesn't even exist. It's not like, it's Michael Jackson's music or let's say it's a hot day and you're racing very fast. So automatically some rock and metal is created by generative AI. Okay.
Right.
Some new music. We had ambient lighting. Now think of ambient music while on long drives. Okay. Basis multiple parameters. That can be done with whatever's available today. What the other two use cases that I told you about is already being implemented as we speak.
So how soon or how late do you think that it will be available in the market for mass usage?
Which one? The last one that I talked about? Ambient music? That is an idea I just got. I mean, you know, if there are any entrepreneurs or enterprising, you know, founders listening to this podcast, they can actually, you know, rig up a company, raise funding and build a solution. Or probably I myself, you know, should encourage a couple of entrepreneurs under my wing to do this. So this is something that I just thought of on this podcast. I was, as we were speaking, that what all AI can do, you know, when it comes to car infotainment experience, enhancing the passengers and the driver's experience with what is available today.
Okay, but then going back to the question, you just got the idea. Now, if you get the investors in, how long before you can actually be ready with the product so that, let's say, you can go on Shark Tank?
No, don't insult people by saying that they can go on Shark Tank. I'm not a huge Shark Tank fan, okay? Let me just put it that way. But here's the thing. 6 months to POC, 1 month, 9 months to a year to commercial launch.
That's actually not a bad scenario.
At all, obviously.
Brilliant. That is interesting. That is very, very interesting. And it's the age that we're living in, and jo cheeze aas paas hai, which can just amp up everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I do keynote speeches and, you know, the line that I open with asking the audience is, I ask them to raise a hand. I make a statement. Ask them to raise a hand if they agree. And I say, you know, I ask them or I tell them that we are living in an age where the rate of innovation in AI and other emerging technologies is the fastest that we've ever seen in our lives. So, you know, almost everyone in the room raises their hand. They all agree. I mean, we are going through an extremely fast pace of innovation. And my point is, that's just half the statement. The other half of the statement is, we are also living at a point in time where the rate of innovation in AI and other emerging technologies is going to be the slowest for the rest of our lives. Okay. So that's where we are living in.
Very, very deep.
Yeah.
Okay, before I let you off, now, since we all know that you've grown up watching Star Trek and Star Wars, and a lot of things that we saw during those TV series and everything are in the market today. Self-opening doors and iPads and all of those video calls. Those were the times that we actually saw them for the very first time, and the mind was blown. Right?
Yes.
So if today you had to say, okay, you know, this is going to happen in the next, let's say, the rate of innovation ke hisab se, it might be smaller, it might be a little earlier, but in the next coming 5 to 10 years, this is one thing which will absolutely blow away your mind. Is there something that you have in front of you, or flying you can perceive?
Flying taxis.
Really?
In the next 5 to 10 years, I think flying taxis are going to be, definitely, because the rate at which they're being developed and they're being tested around the world, including India, you know, I think it is a matter of time. We've seen how drones have taken off, right? You know, at least in an extremely controlled today we already have a flying taxi service in from Bangalore City to Bangalore Airport, right? So I think. You know, if we have to pick something from the Star Treks and the Star Wars time of the world, in the next 5 to 10 years, I think flying taxis are going to be a reality.
Very, very interesting. Jayant, a pleasure having you on the podcast. It was an absolute, one of the best podcasts that I've ever done, and really had fun time chatting with you and finding out more about Internet of Things and AI, to be precise.
Thank you, Sid. I totally enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thank you so very much. And with that, another episode of The Gear Shifters comes to an end. So thank you so much, Jayant. Pleasure to have you on board. And it's always nice when you guys give the feedback. So if you would like to subscribe to all our listeners to the podcast, let us know about your feedback as well. hit us up on HT Smartcast on Instagram or on my Instagram. It's Siddharth Vora with a double I. Take care, have fun, enjoy yourself, and we'll see you in the next one. Till then, wear your seatbelts while driving. Take care.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.